You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1, powered by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. If you've got a surface to protect or a look you want to transform, home or industry, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We don't know what's going on with the O-Dog. Here it is. Well, off on Monday, and now he's got some issues with the internet. So hopefully he connects at some point. Yeah, haven't heard from him in a while. We were talking to him, I guess, earlier this afternoon. He's trying to connect, but it happens. Every once in a while something pops up, and not much we can do about that. We're still working from home here.
Yeah, we've been there and done that before, but it's a beautiful day, very hot. I don't know.
Very hot. Very, very hot. Like, you cannot wear khaki pants hot. And I know that that's where you're going with this, Noodles, because there has been a lot of reaction from yesterday's show where we were talking about sweating and swass and handstands in the shower and all that good stuff.
All I can think about is, obviously, I know you, but, like, I love your dad, but I'm picturing Billy, you know, with a lather on, and then, you know, uncles and all. Like, if it runs through the family, if it's gene.
Oh, it's a gene.
You know, and you're at, like, a hot wedding. Your sister gets married in July, and it's,
which is exactly what happened. My one sister got married in the summer, and it was hot, man. It was before I had started slimming down, so I was in a rough place. Very rough. And it was just the both sides of the family are like, man, it's hot. And there was obviously, you know, air conditioning going on. And it was at an event downtown and event space downtown. It was an awesome wedding and an awesome spot. And as the night went on, you know, you cooled down and it was all good. But getting through the initial kind of ceremony and all that kind of stuff was absolutely a grind. My other sister got married in January because her husband has the same gene, I believe. So I think he was like, if we're going full suit here across the board and let's do this thing in January, man. So it was not necessarily an issue at that point. So I've had it both ways, man. But that that hot summer, the maybe the worst example I've had, my buddy Dave and his lovely wife Megan, they got married down in London, Ontario.
Yeah.
At an old church that was like in a field somewhere that was built in the 1800s. It had nothing in there.
Nothing. No air conditioning.
No AC. You couldn't get a window open in there. And we had went down the night before because it was like an out-of-town wedding for us. So everyone's coming down from Toronto. So it was a Saturday afternoon. We get down there Friday night. So we're in our 20s. You can imagine what we're doing on the Friday night.
You're hung to the gills.
Absolutely sweating out pint after pint. Shots were going around. Like, everyone was having a great time. And then the next day, it's like 35 degrees and humid, and we're in this church in suits. Yeah. I'm shocked people weren't passing out left, right, and center. Shocked.
You know me. I'm not very religious. So I've been to a million weddings and all of that, but you go to some weddings, two in particular I can think of, where it was in the middle of the summer, dead heat, and a giant wedding. Like, I want to say there was 400 people at this wedding. It was in St. Louis. It was 110 degrees out in St. Louis. There's nine of us in the wedding party, and we've taken it deep the night before. And we're sitting in this back little room, and as we go out, the groom goes, oh, by the way, they're having some problems with the AC. And, like, you walk out of this.
It's a full panic at that point. You know what's coming.
Oh, you walk out of this room, and it's like a punch in the face, the heat. There's 400 people in, you know, in this church. And it's, I believe he's Catholic. So it was like one of these Catholic, like,
It's a 45-minute ceremony. Yep, everything.
Like, speeches, and, you know, sermons. And
was like. Yeah, of course. Yep.
None of us were equipped. I don't know if I slept the night before. I sweat out a bottle of whiskey, and there was nine of us standing there passing. I'm not lying. You want to talk about pre-COVID. We're all using this little tiny napkin, and we're just passing. Like the eighth guy. It gets drenched, and I'm trying to wipe my forehead.
Yeah.
My suit is black. I have sweat through my suit. And to the point where I'm thinking I'm going to pass out. The guy next to me is like, you got to hold me up. I think I'm going down.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it was the same scenario. Like, everyone up there is so hungover. And we're like, if we have to be here any longer, someone is going to be dragged out of here like Medano. Like, someone's getting the Sam Rosen, I can't believe that just happened treatment where they're going to have to bring a stretcher out to get some guy out of the church. And it's just, it's so hot. You're so hungover from the night before. The one thing that got, like, guys sweat.
Right.
Women sweat too, but women have it in a much worse position because they've always got the makeup really cooking at a wedding,
yeah,
right? Like, you're at a wedding party, you know, it's a big day, clearly, for both sides, the men and the women. But women, like, you've got the pictures, and you know pictures are coming. Yeah. And it's a big, big moment. And if you really are starting to sweat, because it's not like the women weren't out with us the night before either. Like, everyone was out partying. Like, both sides of the place were like, just I can't believe we're in here right now. We're dying. And you're just trying to get through, man. It's survival mode.
I've always been against any place without AC. Doesn't matter, and I know church, and that might be sacrilegious
that
to say.
It just doesn't happen.
I'm like, and then the second one was a buddy got married out in PEI. Beautiful, like 1800s church. Same thing. No AC. There's a rickety old wooden fan. There's 300 people in the church, and I've got a lather on like you've never seen.
And the fan isn't really helping.
No,
the fan
it's
doesn't
blowing
help. It's
hot
circulating
air into your
45
face.
Degree air. Exactly. Oh. I think the O-Dog is actually back, and I think we can squeeze him into this rotation because I'm sure he has a story or two of being up, you know, at a church or at a wedding in the middle of the summer. And now he's disconnected apparently again. So he might be sweating right now. He is literally what we're talking about. He is the test patient for what we're talking about. This guy is having a meltdown. We bring him in for 2 seconds, the quickest appearance of all time.
He's sitting there
drag him out,
staring at
quick
us, and
wave,
he can't hear us.
And he's frozen, and he's out again.
He's going to throw his machine through the window.
And he's got that new office too, right? Like we don't want a hole in the wall, so we got to be careful with this. But anyway, the O-Dog, I'm sure, will join us at some point. And continue to send in all of your stories because that's probably a good way of taking on the second chapter of this story, where the first one was addressed yesterday. We were talking about just sweating and it being out of control, and it's so hot right now in Southern Ontario. If you are at, you know, weddings, anniversaries, work can be a grind, man. You work at a place where there's just no air filtering in and out, and there's no AC, and you're grinding, you're on the clock, you're hungover, or whatever it is.
Can you leave, though? Like, is there – I know certain places, like factories and stuff, it heats up in there, like, because of –
Well, schools, too, right? Like, schools can be, like, so hot in June if there's no AC in a school. And generally speaking, there aren't, like, especially older schools. And I think that was obviously a concern with, like, masks being worn if the kids went back. Imagine being in a classroom with 30 kids. You're wearing a mask. It's like 34 degrees in there. It's sticky.
There's
that's
no
tough,
air.
Man. No air. That's really, really tough.
I always wondered that if somebody, like, I know conditions are very important, but if you're, you know, say you're working and there's no AC and you're like, I can't handle this. I'm going to lose my mind.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know if you can do that.
I once walked out of Bikram yoga because it was too hot. Like, I got into this yoga. I bought 10 classes that could be in a hero. I'll go in and stretch out and, you know, do a little bit of core, that type of stuff. I left about 17 minutes in because I'm like, I think I'm going to pass out here. Like, I couldn't do it.
I've never done that. I've never tried that.
Terrible.
Yeah, the yoga, the hot yoga, I guess it is. And people are sweaty messes anyway at a yoga class. What do you need to add even more of it?
And,
you know,
people,
to the whole rotation. And people
are
messes in there.
It is. And veterans are quite liberal with their clothing. There was a guy next to me.
Oh, yeah.
On the mat. Our mats are what, like 18 inches apart? He's got basically like tidy whiteys on. Like, I don't know. What are they called?
No socks, nothing in there.
Wearing a marble
like
bag
a
and nothing else. And he is just stretching out a storm. And I'm like, you know, can I get a little personal space
I
here?
Know.
Like, I just, everything around me traumatized me in that Bikram yoga because
you did it once and you never went back. It's basically
I embarrassed
what you're
myself
telling us.
Too. Yes, I embarrassed myself too.
Well, I've only tried yoga a couple of times and it's bad, man. Like, I have no flexibility, so I can't keep up, you know, like, and then I got embarrassed. I tried it once and I'm like, I can't do any of this stuff, man. Like, And I was in like a basic kindergarten yoga class anyone should be able to do, and I just couldn't pull it off. I said, that'll be the end of it, man. I'm not rolling like this anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. So we'll see if we can get the O-Dog back. I think it's too hot for people to really be kind of freaking out about different issues, including what happened with the CN Tower last night.
Yeah.
That I know you're aware of, Noodles.
Well, I am aware, but I don't know where you stand, because the first thing I thought about was you. Like, I was like, because you are, you know, you are the voice of Toronto for me. You are,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, I joke that the Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey loves.
But when I think of Toronto and I think of Toronto sports, I do think of you because you have the pulse. And I don't know if that was a troll job. I don't know if it was a, you know, like there were people that were upset. Like, it was trending on Twitter.
Oh, I think it's an absolutely ridiculous scene. I think it's an outrageous troll job and should never, ever happen. But I guess the explanation is that the CN Tower is technically owned by the federal government.
Right.
And I guess the decisions are coming out of Ottawa, which would suggest to me that it was someone from Montreal or someone that is a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Trudeau. Isn't
probably
he a
Trudeau,
Canadian?
Who is. Yeah.
Right.
Listen, he's allowed to do that. He's from Montreal.
Absolutely.
He's a Habs fan. Fine. Go ahead. You're a Habs fan. Don't bring it here. Who in Toronto wants this? And this is where I am always against politicians diving into the sports world, because generally speaking, they have no idea what they're talking about. Generally they get names wrong. They're doing it because they're trying to pander to their constituents. They're trying to build up some political goodwill. You know, go Leafs. It's like, stop it. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, you see the mayor of New York last week or a couple of weeks ago, de Blasio, when he was chirping Trae Young and he was dressed up in a Brooklyn Nets shirt. It's like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be, you know, snapping about what's going on in the Knicks series, but then be wearing a Nets jersey, because it doesn't work that way. No one in New York is a fan of both teams. But this is one, again, 9 times out of 10, I would tell John Torrey, don't delve in, do your little bet or whatever, go ahead. Or Doug Ford, whoever it is. This is where you actually should speak up on sports. This is property that resides in your city. Represent your city. Pick up the phone, tell them to change the colors. Like, it's ridiculous. And when did the Habs win the Stanley Cup, or they threw two rounds?
I was...
Like, it's an outrageous decision. It's a slap in the face. And people in Toronto absolutely deserve to be stupefied by this.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand. You're right. Like, okay, we're going to cheer for the team that made it out of Canada.
Which
right.
I
like,
hate. I hate
but,
that.
But
I
like
always
that,
have.
You're right. And you've been consistent with that. But it just doesn't make sense. If you want to do that in Ottawa, like, I don't know why. What are they doing that in Edmonton, or the Calgary Tower? Are they doing that with the Calgary? There's a big tower in Calgary, the Calgary Tower. Like, are they lighting it up with Montreal colors? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's the word tone deaf, because that's different when it comes to race and stuff like that, like things. But it just doesn't. It doesn't ring. It doesn't resonate with me. I was
that's
crazy.
It's a troll job. It's a troll job. It's throwing something in the face of people here in Toronto that don't want it, don't care for it, don't need it. And the Habs, they got enough going for them. They don't need the CN Tower. It's one of those scenarios where you just cannot picture it happening anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way in Montreal would they be pumping the tires of the Maple Leafs because the Leafs won two rounds, let alone beat them in the previous series. There's no way it would happen. No one in New York would pump the tires of the, you know, New England Patriots
Boston
or the Boston Red Sox or vice versa. Never. You'd get run out of town. Whoever made that decision would be run out of town. In Toronto, I think it says something in some ways about how the city kind of feels dejected and defeated about the team. You know, like, I think there is some amateur psychologist going on here, where I'm like, this kind of reads as people have bigger and better things to worry about, yes. But also, they're like, the Leafs crushed me again. I can't yell and scream about something. You know, like, the Leafs did it again. It's almost like another example of how the Maple Leafs are the one that continue to subject people to this kind of stuff. Because if they beat the Habs, this would never have been an option.
Well, and
it never would have been an option.
You're right. It didn't make sense on any level for me. None. Like, I couldn't justify it. Like, you know, I get it. Like, Trudeau is a Habs fan, but I don't think he He's got bigger things to work on. I don't think he's picking the phone up and going,
no, of course not. And if he is, if it is on his desk, he should be impeached immediately. And he should be thrown out of office because we're in a pandemic right now. This guy's on his way to the G7, I believe. If he's calling up the CN Tower operator and saying, I need blue, red, and white, you know, to represent the Montreal Canadiens, he should honestly be investigated. Yeah. Forget the We Charity. Forget, you know, whatever it was.
SNC-Lavalin. SNC-Lavalin.
That is irrelevant. If this guy is taking time out of his day to call up the CN Tower, he should be out. He should be out of office.
I don't think that's the case.
There's no way
know.
He's doing that. Of course he's not. This is someone way down the chain that either really doesn't care that much and actually is like, I'm not a sports fan. I don't care. This is what we do, and this is the explanation. Or it's someone that's a Habs fan that's like, wait till you see what I'm about to do.
Like they go home that night and tell her, like if it's a guy, tell his wife. Or
You're not going to believe this.
Like, you're not going to believe what happened.
And it's a great troll job. If that's what they did, I credit you. It's actually an incredible spot. But where is John Torrey? Where is Doug Ford, who admittedly have bigger things to deal with themselves? Right. But finally, step up and say, get this thing down. Get it down. No one wants this in Toronto.
How long is it supposed to last? Like, are they keeping it on forever, or is it just one night, a one-off?
I guess we'll find out tonight, right? I mean, I guess we'll find out tonight, but it was going on last night.
It was just such a weird thing, and I noticed it, but I was like, are we, you know, we're going to have to talk about this. Like, cause
absolutely.
I was like, it just, there was nothing that made sense about it. Nothing. Like,
I don't remember when the Ottawa Senators were in the Cup Final in 07. I don't remember their colors being up on the CN Tower when the Flames were there in 04.
Right.
When the Oilers were there in 06. I don't remember that being the case. I mean, maybe I missed it. Maybe someone can inform me. If you can find out that information, I don't know how you track. And I don't even know if they were doing that 10, 15 years ago with the CN Tower. You know, the lighting of different colors and stuff like that.
Right.
But this one is outrageous. And I, to be fair and consistent, I would say that about any team. Like if Edmonton beat them, don't put the Oilers up. If the Jets beat them, don't put the Jets up. And it's just, it's so unnecessary. It's another example of how the Leafs allowed themselves to choke the series away to the point where Montreal, and it's not like the Habs did anything wrong.
Yeah, I don't think Bergevin's going,
he
like,
doesn't
hey,
care.
You know
what?
I felt like there was something else. You're right. Like, mayors wear each other's jerseys. Like, Doug Ford did this little thing the other day.
Right. They all do that.
Premiers and all of that. But, like, I was like, okay, was this a lost bet? Was this something? Like, there had to have been more of an explanation other than just, hey, we're going to support Canada's team. You know, I was like, that was weird. It just didn't make sense.
Really weird. And I don't, I've never been a proponent of supporting the lone Canadian team. I've never understood it. I get that it's so Canadian, which I actually do appreciate. Yeah, I don't like you. I don't hate you. I just don't like you. But I'm willing to root for you now that you're representing all of us, which is not the case. The Habs going to win a Stanley Cup. They're not parading down young. You know, they're not going to be at Portage in Maine. They're not going to around, you know, Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver. They don't represent the rest of the country. They represent their own city and their own province, as they should, And again, I don't think that that frame of thinking would apply if the Leafs were the lone team standing. And it's been so long, you can't prove it. But no one else in the rest of the country would be like, I'm a Leaf fan now. No one else would do that.
It would be a bigger story if it was the Leafs. It would be not in Toronto, but let's say the Leafs make it out of Canada, and in Calgary they do the Canadian, you know, the C, whatever it's called, Calgary Tower is lit up in Leafs colors. People would go nuts.
They'd go crazy
because people. You've said it before, like people either loves the Leafs or love to hate them.
And
like
everyone outside of Toronto pretty much hates Toronto too, right?
Right.
Like the blame it would be, oh, this is Toronto, the bureaucrats in Toronto, the big money, the media types. They're, you know, TSN Sports Center made them do it or whatever it would be. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like,
it would actually be a bigger story if it was the Leafs outside of Toronto.
Yes.
Like if in Vancouver, I know they've got. I'm drawing a blank on like their landmarks. But in Granville Island, if they lit up Granville Island in Leaf colors, like people would burn that place to the ground.
They would snap. They would absolutely snap. And I think people here are just like, meh.
Yeah.
And again, I think a lot of it is it's kind of self-pity that the Leafs were somewhat responsible for the Habs being well, actually very responsible for the Habs
very responsible.
Being in the position that they're currently in and allowing the CN Tower to be up in their colors. So shout out to Montreal. And I guess they're preparing for Vegas. They're feeling like Vegas is the team they're probably going to play. I mean, what a comeback by them last night, and overtime didn't last that long.
No, I feel the series is exactly where it should be. I thought Colorado should have won that game. They were the better team last night, if you ask me. They didn't have the luck, and you know, things turned into goals. I thought Fleury was brilliant. But game two, they should have lost, where Vegas was the better team and Grubauer stood on his head. This should really be a 3-2 series for Vegas, and it is a 3-2 series for Vegas. So going home, I'm not writing off Colorado yet. I think they're a good enough team that they'll throw everything they can at them next game, but Vegas deserves a lot of credit. They're a resilient team. They're fast. They've got great goaltending. They've got balanced skill. Like, we forget Mark Stone. He makes $9 million a year. He's a hell of a player.
He's a
like
great
a hell
player.
Of a player.
Yeah, he's
like
an underrated player.
Right.
And a guy where if you're Ottawa, you know,
right,
that Eric Brännström better be an absolute
stud. He's a work in progress. He really is.
Like,
which is not, you know, that I don't want to say that's cryptic for, hey, let's see. But like, he's a guy who we always afford a little bit more time with defensemen. I will say this. He showed flashes of being really good the last 10 to 12 games when they were like, here, you're playing 25 minutes a night. Go ahead. And I think he's got a chance to be a really, really good player. But I think he's still trying to establish himself. And, like, you know, he's a young kid who wants to play the right way right away. And sometimes that takes away from their creativity. But Mark Stone, you know, if he wasn't going to get the deal and it wasn't the right timing for Ottawa, they did what they could to, you know, they ended up getting a bunch of picks out of the Carlson deal and out of the Stone deal.
The Carlson deal worked out great because Eric Carlson isn't anywhere close to the player he was. And, and you actually, it worked out beautifully. Like, I don't know if they got enough in return in retrospect based on his value at the time. But now, to get out from under an $11.5 million contract for a guy who looks like his better days are way behind him, that was clearly something that worked out very well for Ottawa. Mark Stone, we'll find out. And Stone, listen, they were bottoming out. Stone wasn't going to stick around more than likely. But he's a great player, man. He's such a good player. He's such a smart player. The way he read that play last night, because he does not have wheels, so he had to jump, right? Like, and that's just smarts, man. He read the play and he took off.
Yeah.
And goes low glove and see you later. Good night.
It was a perfect play. You know, it was a great game too. Like, that game had pace. It had emotion. It was a well played game by both sides. Like, that series has been worth the money, like worth the price of admission to watch it. All eyes for me tonight is to see if Boston has a response. You know, I mean, going into the island, that's a tough building to play in. Game six, it's a must-win elimination game. Let's see what, you know, what their big boys bring, because really, that's what it is. The big boys have to deliver. You know, McKinnon was all around it last night, but they've done a good job of stifling him for the most part, and McKinnon's going to have to drag them back into this series. And same thing with Boston. It's going to have to be Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron and Rask, really, that get
Boston back
in the series.
Right, and I guess we'll find that out tonight with Game 6 between Boston and the Islanders. And those are two really good teams, Boston and Colorado, now on the ropes. But Tampa's through. And somewhat, I mean, that was the Vasilevskiy show in a way last night, which is, again, what's terrifying is the big boys are there. They're so deep. They're so good. And then at the end of the day, if Vasilevskiy decides, I'm just going to stand on my head tonight, then there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Like, there's absolutely nothing you can do. And they're through. So Tampa will play either Boston or the Islanders, and the Habs are going to play either Vegas or Colorado. So we'll continue to look ahead to those games and those potential series. Rays coming up. The Jays with tough loss last night, man. Robbie Ray had himself a great outing.
He did. Again, yeah.
Made one mistake that wasn't even that bad of a pitch. Gave up a home run, but no one's on base, so it's tied 1-1. He comes out. Trent Thornton, Carl Edwards Jr., like, their bullpen. Their bullpen's coming back to reality. Like, the stats would indicate that. The bullpen's coming back to reality. Rodon is a great arm, and it's not going to get any easier tonight. It's really not, because you've got Lance Lynn on the mound for the Sox tonight, who might win the Cy Young. Like, if it were handed out tonight, he might be your Cy Young winner.
Right.
He's been that good. So can the bats overcome that? And guess who he's going up against? Alek Manoah making his third start. So we'll see. We'll see what Manoah's got. We'll see if the Jays can get back on the saddle. We'll start teeing that up throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, race coming up in about a half an hour. We have the O-Dog back. We'll see what happens here. Are you there with us, buddy, or what's going on here?
I am here, and I will also make an announcement on one other topic. If it goes down again, have a good evening. We'll chat then.
One more kick at the can, huh?
Oh, this is the last kick at the can. I was cool. I turned the AC down from yesterday. I was cool. I put my hoodie on. As soon as the Wi-Fi started going on the fritz on me, I turned into one of your uncles with the swass, like
that's
melting.
That's what I figured. Melting. We were saying that. We were having a meltdown over there.
We brought you in, and you couldn't hear us. You were just staring at us.
It was as if we rolled you into an event and said, try to wave, blink a few times, and we'll get you out of here.
You were burning.
So I was actually on the TV with nothing happen.
For about 3 seconds.
For two seconds. It was
like, we were like, we got O back, and you're just
like, there's Bernie.
So we're like,
there's Bernie,
all right,
Lomax.
He's done. And then they cut us back. But, I was like, this guy is going to throw his camera through the window.
Yeah,
but
weekend
it happens.
Bernie's. I love it.
It happens. I've got a weird thing that happened to a buddy of mine today, and I just wanted to bounce this off both of you. And I know it's really off topic, but I'm chatting with a buddy, and his name's Trevor, and he's like, we're just talking hockey and stuff, and he's like, oh, hold on a second. A hot air balloon almost landed in his backyard. And who the hell would fly around in a hot – would you guys ever go up in a hot air balloon?
I never would. Never. No interest in that. But there's a big market for it, clearly, man. It's an industry. Like, they're making some cash. They've been around forever.
I would do it under one circumstance. You take me out to Sasky, flat, and I'll go 20 feet off the ground.
Yeah, but that's the – because you know
that's
why
what
you're
I'm doing. That's what I'm signing up for. I don't care. That's my – and if I get a little bit more comfortable – but I'm not going up in that. That's the dumbest thing ever. Dumbest.
It's a picnic basket, and you're literally blowing hot air into, and it's supposed to take you and fly you around. There's no brake. There's no nothing.
You're totally at the mercy of, the air supply, the heat, whoever's running the operation. Like, that's another crazy thing. Think about how much you vet in your life. Okay, what is this person all about? What are we doing?
Right.
And then you just show up, and there's some guy in a cowboy hat, and he's like, I'll take you up right over the mountains. And you're like, okay, let's go, Gary.
In how a much? Hot
Five
air
bucks?
Balloon. Yeah, like,
it's wild.
I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, how much would it take for the four of us? Say we got Al's brother to go, like, first of all, they wouldn't get the four of us off the ground.
What's
they would
the
need
capacity?
Eight balloons.
That's the thing. Like, what's the weight capacity?
I
have
no
they're
idea.
Starting to weigh people getting on airplanes. They're not going to let us all in a hot air balloon, okay?
No.
It's just not happening.
It would need to be a large balloon, put it that way. But what say you get a hole in the balloon.
There's
obviously
big.
That's concerning.
Excellent.
Have you guys talked about how greasy it is outside today?
Like, yeah, that's what we're
outrageous
talking.
Out there.
It's so hot. It is so hot. And, space travel, like, that's the big thing for all these billionaires. We talked about Bezos the other day, where the, owner and whatever he is, president, CEO of Amazon, he invented Amazon.
Right.
He wants to send himself into space. Like, he's going to invest
he
in
is.
This, and he's going there. He's going. He's already announced it. Elon Musk is planning on doing the same thing. And I guess Richard Branson now has said he's going to try to beat them all and get there first. Like, this is how much money these guys have, where it's not about yachts. It's not about buying sporting teams anymore. It's I'm going to put forth space travel investment, and I'm going up. I'm the guy that's going to go up. And it's simply just the ultimate ego play, the ultimate vanity play. Look at me waving down on all of you scum. Here I am up here. I'm worth, $100 billion. Look where I am. You can't get up here.
Dude, you
like,
can
that's
take
all it
in,
is.
You could take it into the athlete's perspective. You look at Larry Bird, Danny Ainge, coaching, management. The guys now, They want to own a team when they're done.
Right.
That exactly. is the motivation. They don't want to be a scout or a GM or get into the behind-the-scenes work. They want to own the team. They want to own a team.
Look That's at A-Rod. A-Rod was the first massive money guy in North American sport. You're one of the first ones. But he signed like a $250 million contract multiple times.
Twice.
This guy made exactly like over $500 million in his career. And now he's invested in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like he's an owner. And you know LeBron's coming, man.
Oh, yeah. Like Dwayne Wade's part owner in Utah.
Yeah, exactly. Dwayne Wade's already in.
And Wade, I love how he's, by the way, part owner of Utah. Other than this, like if they were a dumpster fire like years past or whenever they were just like no one hurt, like would he still be involved with them? He is like playing the role on the sidelines. I'm like, how did this guy get involved?
I guess it comes down to opportunity, right? Like there must have been an option. And I don't know his connection to Utah, though. He's from Chicago. He went to school at Marquette. He played his career in Miami, and he's an owner in Utah. Like, how does that make any sense? And I think he's still doing media stuff. And
see,
you know,
a lot of those guys, a lot of these guys are smart and have very good advisors nowadays. Like, I know Kevin Durant. Regardless of what you think of him, he's a smart businessman. He's got his own venture capital group. I think it's called 35 Ventures. Like, they bought into a bunch of things. Like, he's made bank on the court. He's making more bank off the court. He's invested in small companies. He's a big investor in this company called Overtime. Like they're doing well because they get the more money you make, you get intertwined with all these big business guys, and all of a sudden, hey, jump into my venture, and we can use Kevin Durant's name or Michael Jordan's platform or
Wayne
Gretzky's
platform.
That's
the beauty of it, right? That's the beauty of it. And actually, Jordan was maybe the first like big money guy. Like his deal with Nike. Forget A-Rod. Like, Jordan was making a lot as a player with his contractual, you know, situation with the Bulls and whatever. But this guy's Nike deal made him a billionaire, and he will be a billionaire forever because there's no bigger brand in sports than the Jumpman brand and the Jordan brand.
Right.
But LeBron, you guys see today the report that he's going to change his number again? Like, he's going from 23 to number 6, which is what he was in Miami. And I've been thinking about it today.
Kobe move.
Yeah, but like what?
He's already done it.
He's already done that. He's already moved around his number. And like, why 6? Because you felt like you were in your prime in Miami, so you're going to bring that to the Lakers. Like, this is a new era because you have a new number. Is it about making more money? Although he won't get that money, I don't think. The Lakers
Dude,
in the league
it's
would
just,
get
he's got to be in alignment with the organization saying, let's throw the fans a bone and fire out some more jerseys. LeBron, new number on. That's the only thing I can think of.
How many rings does he have?
What does he have, 4 rings now?
I thought he had 5.
He's got one in Cleveland, one in L.A.
He's got one in Cleveland, one in L.A., 2 in Miami. He's got
5,
4, I believe.
Yeah, that's
why. Well, he doesn't have 6, if that's what you're asking.
Right,
he's pursuing 6.
All I'm thinking is, the pursuit of 6, or didn't Jordan have 6? There's got to be something, like, that's tied to it, you know, behind the scenes. Like, not just turning back the clock to, hey, I wore 6 in Miami.
These guys have such egos. Maybe it's just his little way of staying relevant during the playoffs. Like, who knows, man? Yeah. I'm out. I got to do something for people to say my name right now.
And it was reported, right? Like, it leaked through the media. So, like, who?
Why? Like, that would be behind-the-scenes stuff. It's like, next year I'm going to be wearing number 6. Like, if me and Noodles told the trainers that, I don't think that would even go up the chain to anybody in a front office.
We'll see you at training camp, and we'll figure something out. I don't know what else to tell you.
It'd probably get written down in the media guide the wrong way anyways. The media guy may not even know about it. Like,
exactly.
It's such a weird thing. Like, everything with LeBron, either good or bad, is times 1,000. It's just noisy.
Jamie Bell, who we work with, he's tweeting and saying it's because that's the number he's wearing in the Space Jam movie.
Oh,
which is
God.
Makes it
Come
even
on,
worse
dude.
Because
that's even worse.
It's a promotion for the movie, which is what this whole thing is about. And yet the Lakers are like, okay, I guess what are we getting from this? You promoting Space Jam, that's what this is.
Don't
maybe
kid
it's
yourself. If you
anywhere.
Think the
maybe
Lakers are
real.
Getting nothing, they're getting all the new jersey sales with the new number on it.
Yeah, but if you're a fan, this isn't like if you bought a 23 Laker jersey, you're like, really, dude? Now your mind's outdated because you got a movie coming out. Like now, I got to get this. I got to get the new jersey if I'm on the LeBron bandwagon here because of the Goon Squad. or whoever you're playing in Space Jam 2. And that doesn't even surprise me that it's all about promotion. And from that standpoint, listen, he's creating buzz. We're talking about it right now. And we're mentioning the movie that is going to be released. So it's very Hollywood. But I also wouldn't be shocked if he actually got to training camp and said, actually, I changed my mind. I'm going to stick with 23. You know, that was simply a fabrication to get buzz cooking here for the movie that's going to be out. But and why know. Like, that means it was so premeditated, because why wouldn't he be wearing number 23 in the movie? This means this is like 2-3 years in the making. Like, the script came out years ago,
so
and they
weird.
Must have said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you number 6, and when it's time to change your number, change it right before the movie comes out. Like, this is pretty deeply rooted. This is really that Hollywood, you know, good stuff about promoting the big screen, man, and LeBron is right in the middle of all of it.
Well, he loves it. But that's been his thing the whole time. Like last year when he was injured and drinking wine in the luxury box, was that last year or the year before?
Two years ago.
Put them together. It just, you know, he seems like a distracted athlete out there, even though he still gets it done. Like, I know they didn't go deep in the playoffs, but, you know, he's still an elite. Is he the number one, or would you –
I don't know.
I think it's a little bit, right?
It might be, but I think you can make a very compelling argument, right? Like,
right.
It's not standalone like it was 5 years ago, but LeBron on any given night can be the best player in the world. Like, no question.
Kidding.
He absolutely can. And in order for you to officially take the crown, like, you got to rip the crown away from him. So I think he still holds that, and he holds that mantle, and he deserves that level of respect based on how he can play. But listen, LeBron, he got his ring. Last year, he did what he said he was going to do in L.A. I don't dispute that he's going to be chasing rings. He'd rather win than lose. I mean, there's no denying that. But I think him going to L.A. was always about more than just basketball. It was about the secondary career. It was about the movie and Hollywood and promotion. And this guy's got so many irons in the fire. It's almost amazing he can stay as motivated on the court as he has at his age, because it'd be so easy for him to fade. Like, his skills to fade, his conditioning to fade, because he's got so much money in the bank. He's achieved everything. The GOAT status is what it is.
Right.
You've made up your mind. If you think he's the greatest of all time, nothing that happens moving forward will change that. If you think he can never catch Jordan, nothing will ever change that.
Think about LeBron and the guy that's probably, 50 miles away from him? Mike Trout, you never hear a peep, a tweet, an Insta post, I don't even know if he does commercials, man. It's like...
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Dude, he is never heard from,
he's
ever.
Invisible until he plays. But the other guy on his team, this Otani, man.
Otani just hits bombs.
Otani, sorry.
You're right, though. I'll bet you, if you were to ask baseball fans, not diehards.
Right.
Not diehard baseball fans, but your average fan who enjoys a game, checks in a few times a week, goes to a few games a year. Good fan, committed, not 162. But if you asked 100 of them that are not Angels fans, that are on the East Coast, what number does Mike Trout wear? I think, you know, maybe 50% would know that he wears number 27. You know, like, maybe know that. But I don't know, man. I don't know how many would. So
he just does his thing, though.
He's like just in a completely different world.
He just rips
homers
and goes home.
And he's a great, great player. Ray Ferraro in 20 minutes on the Bruins. Can they survive tonight? Who do you have more faith in surviving, the Bruins or the Avalanche? Because those two teams have their backs up against the wall. So we'll get into that more coming up. And the Jays are back in action, looking for a bounce back last night. It got away from them late. And they're facing Lance Lynn on the mound tonight. And Lance Lynn has a 1.23 ERA. It's not going to be easy. Rodondo Lynn is maybe the toughest back-to-back in the American League right now, and the Jays are facing that tonight with Alec Manoah on the mound on the other side. So we'll tee that up later this afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Wow.
Players only?
Oh, sideshow today. Absolute sideshow.
I was hoping for a players only.
No, I ran upstairs. It was a washroom break, and I was getting a little bit concerned, and I went to grab some water. It's getting hot down here, man. And after I said what I said yesterday, I cannot be a sweaty mess. no. on TV. I can't allow for it. So well, I'm just trying to make sure I'm airing things out. And
yeah. How did you discover like your uncles? What did you have like a family picnic and everyone is just drenched or what? What is the deal? Is it golfing or what?
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, it's probably starts at the patriarch. Like you go even a generation before that. There's a lot. There's just a sweating kind of gene, man, that can make its way down the family line, the family
tree. I'll tell you what, I teed it this morning on the 13th hole. I just said to the two guys I was with, this is the hottest day in the universe on Canada, man.
Did you pull the chute? You must have played it out.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
You played it out?
Oh, yeah, I'm not leaving. It's never too. We live in Canada, man. I cannot stand the narrative of people saying, oh, my God, it's too hot out there. Do they not look like I live in a condo, and when you look out in February and the snow is blowing sideways, do you not remember that? Like, do you forget? It's no such thing as too hot in this country.
I appreciate it when it's that hot.
Like I do, too. I'm like I feel it. Like I'm in Arizona right now.
Exactly. I'm like, I'll take this heat, man. Like, we didn't – and because we haven't been able to go anywhere for a year and a half.
No.
Can't go to Florida. Can't go to Arizona. Can't go to Nevada. You know, whatever it is. I appreciate it even more. And it's been really hot this week. I mean, crazy, crazy hot. But I'm tracking the Packers mini camp, and the reports on Jordan Love are not going so well. He's, I guess, very inaccurate. He's missing a lot of throws, and now people are starting to freak out. And this might be the worst-case scenario if you're the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, is seeing it too, hearing it too. You know he's talking to buddies. Like, Devontae right. Adams is feeding him info and probably saying, you're not going to believe this kid, man. He can't throw the ball 15 yards down the field. And I don't know what the Packers are going to do, because the cat is out of the bag that the reports are out there that this guy looks terrible. He looks terrible in minicamp. And it's mini camp. I mean, it's June. They don't play for real into September, but
still. But people talk, man.
People
it's
talk.
Like, it's like well, what?
I was looking at the videos online. Some of them were a joke, right? Like they had a guy in a Green Bay jersey just throwing it like 10 yards.
Oh, of
that
course.
Wasn't
there's,
him, right?
There's no like, real pressure or anything. There's no pass rush. There's no hitting.
Right.
There's no, you know, like they'll come at you, but it's mostly just helmets and shorts
right.
and you're just out there kind of dinking and doinking, but still they keep stats in terms of what you're actually doing. And Blake Bortles is there, who's not a very good quarterback, but he's been in the league for a long time. He's a
right.
he's a pro, he's a vet. And if Blake Bortles is starting for the Packers week one, it will be the biggest fall from grace at a position that I can think of in a long, long time.
Dude, yeah. It wasn't too long ago old stinky Blake Bortles was in a playoff game with the Pats at Foxborough, and they had a good – I think they were leading that game, too.
They were. Yeah, you're right. They beat
at
Buffalo
the half.
That year.
Yeah.
Remember they beat Buffalo like 9-3. It was one of the worst offensive games
true.
In playoff history. It was like 1954 Ice Bowl-like type of offense between Tyrod Taylor, the Bills, and – Bortles
right.
and the Jags, but that's when they were loaded, man. They went 13-3 that year and almost got past Brady, and it didn't happen. But going from Rodgers to Bortles is a lot worse than Brady to Cam Newton. Like, Cam
right.
is still, you know, he's got something. He doesn't have a lot, but he's got more than Blake Bortles.
I have no idea why they haven't dragged it out. Like, just, it, like, what are you trying to do to the guy? Like,
right.
he doesn't want to play there. You move on from it and find somebody else.
This is like, why you drag it out, because you're in shock that Blake Bortles might be your starting quarterback or Jordan Love, who can't play.
Yeah, but if they ended this nonsense a long time ago, Hayes, they would have had time to allow themselves a backup plan. So
yeah, but do you think it's like a done relationship? Do you think it's 100% done, or is there maybe in the back of their mind they're thinking, how can we repair this? Is there any chance to repair this relationship?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's going to be up to Aaron Rodgers. I think the Packers would happily repair the relationship. I don't buy
right.
that they like that he's not there or it's in their better interest. I don't buy that at all.
No.
I think Rodgers comes to the table and is like, you know what, let's work this out. You're going to have to pay me. You might
yeah.
have to ship Jordan Love out, you know, which I think would be unnecessary and beneath him, quite frankly. You're a Hall of Fame, all-time great quarterback. What do you care if Jordan Love is around? And, you know, you can tell the GM whatever's on your mind, and also tell the GM, don't ever come talk to me. Don't look at me. I don't want to see you. Like, stay the hell away from me. And the GM's going to have to chew on that.
Yeah.
But it's all in the hands of Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see, but we're getting mini camp updates, and they're not overly positive right now. Brooks Koepka is gearing up to play this weekend at the RBC down in South Carolina. He had some comments on the DeChambeau battle between the two of them. We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it. Ray will join us in the next hour. We'll spin the Wheel of Misfortune at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1, powered by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. From fabric paint to roof repair, epoxy floor coatings, rust-fighting paint, and more, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge.